It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here, live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. You can also call into the show at 636-1350. That's 707-636-1350. And we will answer your questions live on the air. So, Rachel, today's topic we thought we would talk about was elder abuse.
Yes.
What is elder abuse? Now, I'm going to turn 65 in 2 months, so I'd like to know.
Yes. Well, elder abuse is defined by state law, federal law does define it. But the bottom line is that if you're 65 or older, the law considers you an elder, which I think is, you know, getting kind of funny these days because the 60 is the new 40 and all that kind of stuff. And it's true. Our populations are healthier. They're younger. My mother is 82 years old, and you'd think she was an easy 60.
I mean, and still collecting Social Security.
Yeah, and she's doing great and healthy. And, you know, it's aging is not the same as it was years and years, decades ago. But the definition remains the same. It's defined by California law as a person 65 years or older. Most of the laws I'm going to talk about today also apply to dependent adults, which are adults that cannot care for themselves in some aspect of daily living activities that they're expected to be able to perform. And if they can't perform them, then they will be considered a developmentally disabled person.
So those people don't have to be 65.
No, that's any age person. And the laws covering elder law, it's actually elder and dependent adult law, and these laws about don't abuse people who can't necessarily take care of themselves, which again, I apologize for all of everybody who's 65 and doing great. This doesn't apply if you're super healthy. And well, it does apply. That's what's funny, is it still applies even if you're super healthy, aware, and can take care of yourself. These laws still apply, but it really is meant to protect those that are more vulnerable to abuse and maybe can't stand up for themselves, can't take care of themselves. So that's what's in mind here. I do want to say that there hasn't been a recent study, but back in 1996, they did kind of an overreaching study all over, trying to figure out, you know, statewide how much of this is going on. And they found, you know, roughly 450,000 people a year are elder and abused, and this is just elders. And of that 450,000, only 16% of it is reported. So the major problem is, are these things being reported? And the answer is largely no. So there's a lot of things we can cover here. We can cover what it looks like. What do you do about it? And I'm going to say first off, and I'll say this a few times during the day because sometimes people don't listen to the whole show. You might miss it. If you suspect elder abuse, you need to deal with it immediately. Don't wait. Please don't
wait. That's really my first question, Rachel, is how do you recognize, what is it, and how do you recognize it?
Well, don't worry. I'll get there. But I really want to say the first thing you do, you call Adult Protective Services. Second thing you do is call the district attorney. The third thing you do is call a civil litigation attorney who deals with these issues. So Adult Protective Services, the district attorney's office, sheriff if you need immediate assistance, and then you call a civil attorney that deals in elder abuse. So that's how you you're going to deal with these problems. So then the question is, we're talking about different kinds of abuse. There's physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, financial exploitation, and neglect and abandonment. And those are all the different ways that elders and dependent adults get abused on a fairly regular basis when you're talking about, you know, abuse. These are the kinds: physical, emotional, sexual, financial, and neglect and abandonment. Most of these are handled by state law. So depending on the state you're in, the laws are going to be different. California's laws are pretty great. I mean, they're really pro-assistance, pro-helping, really on the side of making these claims deal with the ball. So when you have civil attorneys that deal with these issues, most of them, if they really know what they're doing, they're going to know what to look for. They're going to know how to deal with
They're on the side of the victim.
Definitely pro-victim here, pro-survivor, pro-helping people out, because we are looking at a lot of times a more vulnerable population.
One of the things that we have run into in our practice is commonly where there's siblings, and one of the siblings is taking advantage of a parent. And
yes.
And who calls us is the other siblings. And
yes.
And they say, you know, our sister is taking advantage of mom, or our brother's taking advantage of mom, and spending her money, or getting on her bank accounts, or things like that.
Yes. The two scenarios that I deal with most in my practice are, one, the one that you suggest, where it's one of the siblings and the rest of them are going, hey, what's going on with mom, or what's going on with dad? The other one is the nursing home abuse, where you see a lot of physical abuse. Mismanaged medications is really high on that list, and it happens a lot. So if you happen to have a loved one who is 65 or older in a nursing home, skilled nursing facility, residential home, check those medications. Make sure they're being administered properly, because that is really high on that list of abuse. Over medication, lack of proper medication, those are really big problems, and they have to be looked at immediately.
You've had numerous nursing home cases over the last 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, I've been practicing almost 20 years now, and I've had several of them, and it's always a really sad situation. Some of them have been dependent adults. Some of them have been elderly people that really can't take care of themselves, and they're there because they can't take care of themselves, and they need somebody to make sure that they're able to function. There may not be a family member available who can take care of them to the level of care that they need. You know, somebody that needs 24/7 care may need to be in a residential home or skilled nursing facility, and that they need people that are qualified. And a lot of times, if you do have a loved one in a facility, you can go ahead and look them up online. There are agencies that actually do studies on these. They do site inspections. They will assess fines if the facility is not up to par. And those are really important to be aware of. If you have put somebody in one of these homes, or if you're looking to do that, you need to look that up and make sure that you're putting them where they're going to be well taken care of. Read the reviews and all that.
The state actually takes... The state takes reported claims and monitors them.
They do, and those are available to be looked at. So you have to look those up, and make sure that your loved one is being put somewhere where they will be cared for. But that doesn't mean you put them there and just leave them there. You have to go in regularly, check the charts, make sure that things look like they're going well. The reporting requirements, all the way that the nurses are taking notes and filling out the charts are by law. And if there's anything fishy on those, you need to be looking at that. So that's one of the red flags. But I'm going to say again, if you suspect this, call the APS, Adult Protective Services, the district attorney, and then call a civil attorney that deals with elder abuse. So you can also, there's a website that you can look at if you want to, that is pretty helpful, that that tells you a little bit more about what is involved, and that is the California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. And again, California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform, CANHR, and they're really, really helpful with giving you information on what to do and how this works. So we have a lot of things to talk about. So remember that elder abuse, and the reason I say call the DA is because elder abuse is a crime. There are civil remedies and there are criminal remedies, and you need to check in on both. And if you can't get satisfaction through the district attorney's office or adult protective services, you could probably get some help through a civil attorney who deals with elder abuse on a regular basis and knows how to deal with these. And again, I cannot emphasize enough the need to deal with it immediately. And I tell people when they come in my office, if it's a family where you have a, you know, let's say there are five siblings or even two siblings, and one comes in and says, I suspect that my other sibling or siblings, that my mom or my dad is being, you know, under some sort of undue influence or being neglected, or, you know, there's some abuse, or a lot of times a caregiver may have a substance abuse problem or a gambling problem, and that can heighten the red flags for elder abuse. And overwhelmingly across the board, the abuse is done by somebody who is trusted and loved by the elder. Often it is one of their children. It could be a spouse. Often it's a caregiver that they know and trust. And we see this over and over and over and over again, overwhelmingly. And that's part of why it goes unreported, is because, you know, imagine you're a mom and you're being abused by your kid. Do you really want to turn them into adult protective services or call the district attorney or sue them? No, you don't. So you're quiet, you don't say anything, and the abuse continues. And again, that can be physical abuse, emotional abuse, or financial abuse. And it's, you know, you got to deal with it head on and you got to deal with it right away. And I say for families, there are only two ways to deal with it. One is either you get the family together and you mediate this thing. And if there's enough friendliness left, you can do that. And if it's too late for that, then you got to go scorched earth.
We are talking today about elder abuse and abuse of dependent adults. We're talking today about how to recognize it, what elder abuse is. If you have questions, you can give Rachel a call down at our office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
Hi, this is Scott Barbieri with Wine Spectrum in Santa Rosa. I recently had a personal injury case handled by Charlie Cochran and his legal team. Charlie and his team kept me informed of my case as it went through litigation. And most important, they return your phone calls. My case successfully settled without trial. If you've been involved in an auto accident, call Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson at 707-544-9006.
Call the legal team of Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison today.
The North Bay is rich with creative people. Being an artist or a budding entrepreneur takes creativity and hard work. It often requires expensive technology and education to finish your projects. I'm Jared with Alexis, and we're with 180 Studios.
180 Studios is a makerspace in Santa Rosa, providing public access to over 16,000 square feet of professional equipment. This October, 180 Studios Makerspace is transforming into a horror space. We will be hosting costume-making workshops throughout the month, perfect for families, cosplayers, and young makers. Visit 180studios.org for the calendar of events. You don't want to miss it.
The costume making workshops are only $25. Don't get stuck buying an expensive, boring costume. Have fun, get creative, and make your own costume at 180 Studios.
With both parent-child workshops and adult-only workshops available.
Mark your calendars for our October Meet the Makers Halloween Carnival with costume and pumpkin carving contests for all ages. Visit 180studios.org to register. That's 180studios.org.
If you want to get super strong, super fast, go super slow at Inform Fitness Personal Training Studio in Rohnert Park.
Increase your energy levels, muscle tone, and lean muscle mass with their 20-minute once or twice per week workout.
Here's Inform Fitness member Jeff.
I was hesitant at first because I was used to working out by myself, doing my own routine. After my first workout, I was hooked. I wish I could work out 7 days a week.
Call for a free intro session. Inform Fitness Rohnert Park, 707-385-9860. 385-9860.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. Today, we're talking about elder abuse in its different forms, and abuse of dependent adults. We're also talking about how to recognize it. And Rachel, you're the expert on elder abuse. You've mentioned it can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be sexual, it can be take many different forms. We usually run into it when one of the siblings or a caregiver is exercising undue influence over their parents.
Yes, that's the most common. And just so that you know, if you're a law geek, these claims are largely dealt with by the Welfare and Institutions Code in California law, also this Health and Safety Code, and also Business and Professions Code, the Civil Code. There are a bunch of different law sections out there from different areas of the law that combine to create an elder law cause of action or set of causes of action in civil law. I thought I would just read what our actual definition is in California, and this is pursuant to Welfare and Institutions Code section 156.10, and it is civil law defines elder abuse as physical abuse, neglect, financial abuse, abandonment, isolation, abduction, or other treatment resulting in harm, pain, or mental suffering to an elder. It also means the deprivation by a care custodian of goods or services that are necessary to avoid physical harm or mental suffering. So how do you deal with it? I told you, you call APS, you call the DA, and you call a civil litigation lawyer that specializes in elder abuse, and you get on that right away. So abandonment is pretty clear. Somebody, you know, leaves the elder on their own and says, see you later, and goes gambling for a couple of days, or goes to, you know, Tahoe or Reno or Las Vegas and gambles for a couple of days, and the elder is left alone and maybe can't feed themselves or can't bathe, that sort of thing, can't get out of the house by themselves, and they're left on their own. That's abandonment. Abduction is basically taking somebody out of the house and leaving, and nobody knows where they are. It can be taking a trip to Mexico. I had a recent one where they were wanting to take, some of the family members were wanting to take grandma to the Philippines, which was where she was born, but she had not been back there since she was 3 years old and did not have any good memories of it. And some of the family wanted to hijack her off to the Philippines while they were at the same time basically kind of robbing her estate and taking some of her.
Now, in that situation,
finances,
you can do different things like get restraining orders to stop them from taking money from the parent or the dependent adult. You can actually get court intervention.
Yeah. One of the things that I didn't mention earlier that I think is really important is if you are going to report to APS, Adult Protective Services, the district attorney, or go to a civil law lawyer, you need to determine or be able to explain whether the elder is competent or not. Can they make their own decisions? Is it a some sort of an Alzheimer's or mental defect type of situation? Sometimes if they're over-medicated and or dehydrated, that can cause a lot of mental difficulties and make it difficult for an elder to make decisions for themselves. So you need to be able to either have that evaluated by their doctor, or if you can't do that for one reason or another, or if it hasn't been done, you need to come with the information of why that hasn't been done, and that has to be figured out, because how you deal with them if they are competent to make their own decisions is very different than if they can't make decisions for themselves. And that just has to do with mental clarity, and that is often not easy to ascertain immediately, but it does need to be addressed right off the bat. Financial abuse often is undue influence. You know, grandma changes her will 3 times in a year and a half, and I've seen a lot of those, and that is very disturbing. They're under the care of a cousin or a sibling or sometimes a caregiver, and the will, the trust, the beneficiaries get changed, the amounts get changed, where the money goes to gets changed in favor of the caregiver. And that got huge red flags written all over it. A lot of times people don't know about that until it's too late. And that may be grounds for rescinding the trust and working with that. And that can be a really difficult thing if the elder has passed away already or is not mentally competent to say what's important. Isolation is one that often goes unrecognized. But it happens a lot, and it's really disturbing. It's when the elder is no longer allowed to see their friends, to go out to places they like to go. Say they like to go to McDonald's for breakfast or go down to Starbucks for a coffee, and they can't make it themselves, and the caregiver won't take them anywhere. And then before you know it, the family can't see them anymore. And pretty soon, the rest of the family's going, hey, I haven't seen mom for like 4 months, and I keep, you know, calling and saying, hey, I'm coming over. And then, you know, she's not there, or she's having a nap or whatever. And every time something happens and you don't get to see your mom, and, you know, it snowballs and it gets to be bigger and bigger. And pretty soon nobody's seen this person for months and months and months. And you have no idea if they're being taken care of or not. Mental suffering is probably the hardest one to recognize. Because there's nothing there. There's nothing to see. So mental suffering is usually the infliction of fear, agitation, confusion, and it's coming out through threats, harassment, or some sort of intimidation. Hey, I won't give you your cookies after dinner if you don't, you know, sign this document or whatever. It can be something as mild as that, or it can be verbal threats. And that can then lead to physical abuse. So if you see, you know, bed sores, bruising, anything like that, that's pretty obviously something needs to be happening. Or if your loved one is really groggy and out of it all the time, you need to be going, okay, something's wrong with the medications. If you go to hug your loved one and they flinch away, or if you touch them and they flinch, and maybe it hurts. Maybe it's a physical abuse thing that you can't see. Maybe it's an emotional abuse thing that you can't see. And again, neglect is often seen by neglected hygiene. They haven't had a bath. They have bed sores. That sort of a thing. They seem to be really thin, or their lips are dry. They may be getting dehydrated. And you have to be really careful about dehydration, because that can have some really ongoing, lasting, long-term, nasty effects, and it will affect your ability to function mentally. So hydration is really important. And then, of course, physical abuse can be, you know, infliction of physical pain. It could be the sexual abuse, or molestation, which actually does happen. And, you know, you might be going, oh, come on, who's going to hurt grandma? But it does happen. And it's, you know, physical abuse also is when they say, like they'll say chemical restraints or punishment. A lot of times chemical restraints means over medication or under medication. I've had the case where a medication was not prescribed that should have been to deal with, you know, an infection. The infection went septic and the parent died. And those things do happen. Or the over-medication where they're just getting insane amounts of opioids. And the opioids are not only bad for your mental state, but they're bad for, you know, your internal organs. They're bad for your mouth. Your mouth gets very dry. If there are teeth left, they can fall out or become decayed because the mouth is dry and there's nothing there to help with that. So
we usually see it with reference to somebody putting their self on somebody else's account, or they're taking
the financial abuse.
The financial abuse. We see it a lot of times with people getting their name on grandma's savings account or stock account or something like that.
So here's what you want to look for, okay? So just be aware, look for these things. The behavior, the first thing, are they malnourished, dehydrated, bed sores, unexplained weight loss, painful reactions, bruising, torn skin, broken bones, any of those kinds of things, broken teeth, loss of teeth, agitation, if there's like uncalled for anger and you don't know where it's coming from, a lot of anxiety. Anxiety is a big one to look for. Confusion, disorientation, that can be from threats, it can be from over-medication, being defensive. Depression is a really big one. If your elder's being depressed, you need to get on that right away because that leads to other things and it's a downward spiral. Fear, helplessness, the hesitation to actually talk and communicate freely, that's a big one. Giving implausible excuses. Oh, I fell in the shower. I fell in the bath. I bonked my head on the cupboard. If you get a bunch of those kind of things, yeah, that can happen. Of course it can. But if you see it repeatedly, even if you only see it once, just be aware and kind of look around and see if maybe there's something else going on. If they're not responsive, that could be over medication or some sort of neglect, dehydration, malnutrition. So be aware of that. If they are withdrawing from society, withdrawing from company, that's a big one. If they are not being given the opportunity to talk for himself, the caregiver talks over them. There's anger or indifference by the caregiver towards the elder. There's isolation, conflicting accounts of what's going on. And if there's some sort of substance abuse or gambling problem, that's to be looked out for.
Boy, you know your stuff. Rachel has a degree in psychology, and so she usually comes at this thing from a psychological background, and she's able to interview witnesses and talk to people about the abuse of the elder. So give Rachel a call at 544-9006 if you suspect elder abuse. And you can also visit our website. Give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.